Could we turn in God's Word, please, to Numbers chapter 14? Numbers chapter 14, and we want to read a few of these verses together. Numbers 14, and we'll commence our reading at verse number 1. The people have just received the two conflicting reports about the promised land from the spies. And this is what happens after they hear those reports. Numbers 14 and verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched in the land, rent the clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If, or since the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bid stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And if you cast your eye down there to verse number 6, and we'll continue, 26, and we'll read from verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upwards, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I speak, to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities. Even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, still lived. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel. And the people mourned greatly. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the precious Word of God. We thank Thee, O Lord, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank Thee, Lord, herein contain the words of eternal life. Lord, we realize this morning that we've read a solemn passage of Thy Word. We pray, Lord, to prepare our hearts to receive the good seed of the Word of God. And Lord, that You will teach us. And that, O Lord, You will lead us and You will guide us. And make us an obedient people to Thy Word. O Lord, we pray this morning, work in hearts. And we pray that we will know the speaking voice of God. O Lord, make this book to us a living book. And may we see Thy will and Thy way and walk therein. Pray, Lord, You'll empty me of self and of sin, of any confidence of the flesh. And I pray, O Lord, You'll fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, You know my need, but I thank Thee that Thou hast promised to supply all my need. Lord, bless us this morning and do us good, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. This morning in Psalm 32, I read these words. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And that is the desire of the Lord for each of his children. That you will be led of God. That you would look on to the Lord for all leading and guidance, and that you would go through with God. What does God desire for His children, and what does God desire for His church this morning? God desires that we would go forward. God desires that we would march on. That we would make progress in our walk toward glory. I want to ask you this morning, Christian man, Christian woman, Christian young person in this congregation, have you progressed in the things of God this week? Can you look back over your life this week and say, I have gone through with God. I am walking closer with God now than when I started this week. Let me ask you, are you closer to the Lord now than the night when you were saved? Do you love Him with a more sincere and deeper love? Do you know Him more fully? Or can it be said that you have been standing still and not going through with God? Do you know that the Lord saved the children of Israel out of Egypt that He might have a name for Himself? That a holy congregation might be established and God's glory was to be seen in those people. But here in Numbers chapter 14 we see a people standing still. God had saved them to bring them into a land of blessing. Not just that they would be released from Egypt, but that they would be taken further into the things of God and know more of the blessing and the privileges of being a child of God. And so it is for you this morning. We are saved and on our way to heaven. Praise the Lord for those who are saved. But we are not simply saved that we'll be in heaven. We are saved that here we will be a testimony for the Lord. We are saved that here we will bring glory to His name. We are saved that we will go through with God and on with God. And that as people look at our life and as people look at our churches, they will see that there is a God who truly saves and who truly satisfies. The sad reality is today, if many of our churches are looked at, do we truly present a God who truly saves and truly satisfies by the lives that we lead? You see, what was to be an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land became a 40-year agony because of disobedience, unbelief, and instability. And the children of Israel were to learn many difficult lessons in the wilderness. And often they would know the consequences of disobedience. And here we see a passage where once again, believe it or not, for the 10th time, since they have been released from their bondage in Egypt, the people stood and disobeyed God. They failed to put their trust in God. And they sinned against God. And therefore they ended up miserable, wretched, fearful and confused. You see, they're not pressing on anymore. The victories that they had won by the hand of God were a distant memory. They were looking to the past. And the reality and the joy of freedom as the people of God had fled. I wonder, is there a believer this morning who knows what I'm talking about? Once you walked well with God, once you were on fire for God, You never missed the prayer meeting. You never missed the outreach. If something had to be done at the church, you were there almost before you were asked, because you desired to see the name of God honoured. And you desire to obey Him and to go through with God. But this morning, it's enough for you to come to church on the Lord's Day morning. Perhaps this morning your seat in the place of prayer is empty. Perhaps this book is now a closed book to you. Perhaps you're walking in Bypath Meadow and you're in a similar situation to these people. There's no peace. There's no contentment. There's no joy. Because, friend, the Lord does not bless disobedient Christians. And if you're walking outside or contrary to the will of God, then you're in a similar situation. You're truly fearful. You're discontent. And you're not in the place that God wants you to be. Why did this people come to be in such a state? Why are they found here crying through human fear? Well, I believe, as we consider this passage today, there are six lessons that we can learn. Six hindrances to progression in the Christian life. And I trust the Lord will write these in our heart. And that the Lord will make us wise unto these things. And that we will know them and identify them and pray them away by victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to note, the first hindrance was that there was a greater focus on circumstances rather than God's word. There was a greater focus on circumstances rather than on the word of God. You see, God had spoken. God had said He would take them into the place of blessing, into the promised land. But here the people were no longer listening or focusing on what God had said. They were looking around them and their hearts failed within them. You see, they looked ahead and they looked behind and they looked within and they looked without, but they did not look up. They did not look to their God. And therefore, they were not able to face the hardships and the battles and the trials. Why? Because their eyes were off the Lord. And how sad it is whenever a believer forgets God and forgets God's word. Every promise is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. What God has said, He will do. Now perhaps these people didn't realize the hardships that would come. The Lord had said there would be hardships. And He said He would take them through the difficulties. Do you know that the believer is not immune to difficulty in his life? We're not immune to trials and we're not immune to testing. But the Lord has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the same God who took the three Israelite men through the fiery furnace and right out the other side is the same God this morning who will take each believer through every trial and every step that they have to take upon this life. You see, God's word was no longer held up, adhered to, or depended upon. And do you see, when God's word is taken away, well, then the foundation is removed. And whenever a church forgets about the word of God, and whenever the focus of a church is no longer God's word and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then it's an unstable church. And it's not a faithful church. And it's not a church that will be blessed. And it's the same for the child of God. When you forget about the word of God, and when you forget to read the word of God, and when you forget to obey the word of God, friend, you will not be a stable Christian. You will trip, and you will tumble, and you will fall. And your focus will then be in circumstances. And how sad it is whenever we look around. If we looked around and only had the circumstances to look at, our hearts would fail within us. We're living in a day when a church has to go to a court in the land to get permission to invite people to a gospel service. And that is a fearful thing. But we thank God this morning that He is still in the throne. We are not depending on the court in the land. We're depending on our God. And He will bring us through. And His glory will be seen. You see, the children of Israel were given an instruction and a promise from God. Yet they were standing still. Where was the press on? Where was the march on? Where was the song of victory after they crossed the Red Sea at night, just a few days later? Are you so daunted by what's going on in your life today that you've forgotten to look to God? Are there sleepless nights? Are there fearful things in your heart that are hidden and you worry and you ponder over? The Lord said to the believer, casting all your care upon Him. It's not His desire that you carry the burden and the weight of the world upon your shoulder. How is it that we will press forward in the Christian life, even in the midst of difficult circumstances? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Running. Making progress. Taking ground. How? By looking unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. The author. And praise God, the finisher. He sees us through to glory. He sees his work completed. He sees his name honored and exalted. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Friend, don't be discouraged this morning. We sang that hymn, when you feel weakest and dangers surround, subtle temptations and troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, even times sad. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Let us press on then. Never despair. Live above feeling. For victory's there. Jesus can keep us so near to him that nevermore our faith shall grow dim. Friend, never go away from the word of God. That's the first thing. A greater focus on circumstances rather than on God's word. But the second problem and the second hindrance we see here to progression is a murmuring against God's people. A murmuring against God's people. Now God had called and chosen and equipped and empowered Moses and Aaron to lead the people by his command. And here the people turned on God's servants and murmured against them. You know what the reality was? It was that the children of Israel were not prepared to step out in the promises of God. They weren't prepared to go through with God, and they weren't prepared to obey God. So somebody else was to blame. And that's a prevalent thing in our churches today. I don't go to the prayer meeting, and I don't do outreach, and I don't give to the church, but you know, it's because I'm a minister. Or it's because of an elder in the church. Or it's because of somebody that sits beside me in the church, and you know, look at them, and somebody else is always to blame. And they murmured against God's people. My friend, I want to tell you, it is a serious thing to murmur against a child of God. It is a serious thing to murmur or take loosely on your lips the name of a servant of God. We are to encourage one another. We are to exhort one another. And they place the blame for the lack of their obedience and the lack of their progression at the feet of the faithful servants of God. And you know what they were doing? They were murmuring against God. For God says, whenever he gives the judgment, they murmured against me. Friend, that's a solemn thing. That's a very solemn thing. May God give us a guard over our lips. Every word will be brought into account. Every word. And the reality is here, these people were not spiritual people and were causing trouble in progression. And we have learned and we will know that unspiritual people here speaking against the leadership cause a hindrance, but spiritual people do not cause trouble in the work of God. Spiritual people do not hinder the progression of the work of God. Spiritual people do not hinder the blessing of the work of God. Spiritual people do not grieve or wound the heart of a minister of the word of God. Someone who is spiritual and walking with God is a blessing to a church. And we need to pray that the Lord would make us a blessing in this day and in this age. The people of God are few and far between today, and we need to be united in the things of God and upon the word of God, and we ought to be a blessing. My friend, that's something we need to be careful about. Believer, do not murmur against leadership. Do not murmur against leadership if they're according to the word of God obedient. Do not murmur against it. God does not bless a murmuring Christian. You know, in James chapter 3, we are told and we are warned about the tongue. And we read, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, but behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. These ought not so to be. My friend, if you're walking with God, in the will of God and obedient to God, it will be reflected in your outward actions. When the heart is right, we will see it in speech. We will see it in your actions. We will see it in what you do. May the Lord guard our mouths. May the Lord give us a love for our brethren and our sisters in Christ. Thirdly, we see another hindrance, and that is a foolish looking back to former days. Now, it's not wrong to look back, but you have to do it with a spiritual perspective. They were looking back foolishly to former days. In verses number 3 and 4, oh, that we would have died in Egypt. As if that was a much better thing than where they were now. We'll go back to Egypt. And they forgot, obviously, the place that they were taken from. In fact, a few chapters earlier, they had talked about the wonderful things of Egypt. You know, about the leeks and about the cucumbers and the melons and the onions and the garlic. And by reading that, you would think they were living in a wonderful land where everything was at ease and all they did was eat all day. The reality of the word of God, and Lord records for us in Exodus chapter 1, that there was a cry went up from Egypt. They were broken. They were a people who feared because they were under oppression. The Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And the Bible tells us God heard their groaning, and he looked upon them because their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. And there they were bound and captured, and they had no freedom, and they had no opportunity to worship, and they had no identity as a nation anymore. And they were freed from that, and now they're looking back through rose-tinted glasses to the good old days, and they seem to forget the hardships that they were under. You see, their perception was not accurate. They didn't exactly recall where they had come from. And you know, the devil's very subtle. And there are times whenever the Christian is going through the trial or going through the valley that you might be tempted to look back. And you know, we can look back at those days and they might have seemed carefree. Friend, you were under bondage to Satan. You were on your way to hell. You had no freedom. In fact, you were dead in trespasses and sin. May God give us that true spiritual vision that when we look back, we see clearly what exactly happened. And not only that, but we remember who we were in Christ and before we met him. You know, believers can laugh about sins that will take another to hell. Oh, that we would have a spiritual vision of exactly what sin is. But not only was their perception not accurate, they were living in the past. Oh, they were living in the past. They were living here and now in the today and going forward. Oh, no, no, no. They were looking back. And friend, if you want to go on with God and you want to walk on with God, you have to step up to the mark today. You may have had a wonderful victory this past week, but friend, today is a new day and you need to step with God today. And you may have no wonderful times of blessing in the years that have gone past, and praise the Lord for those things, but we cannot live in past blessings. This is a new day. And God gives new grace and new blessings. Christian, have you stepped up to the mark today to step on with God? I trust you're not living in the past, but you're living in the here and now. Yesterday's victories are not today's realities. And if a church wants to press on with God, it cannot live in the victories of the past. New obedience is required. And could it be? Could it be in our lives? But so often we're so busy looking back that we forget today is the here and now. Today is the opportunity. We say, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And we say that to the unseen. You must be ready. You must be seeing, for you don't know if you'll see tomorrow. That's true. But that verse also applies to the believer. You may not see tomorrow, so therefore today is a day of service that you definitely have. What are you doing for the Lord today? There was a foolish looking back to former days. But fourthly, there was an unbiblical view of God. An unbiblical view of God. You see, these people were speaking about God as if he had brought them to let them perish. As if he had brought them to let them to do the playthings of the enemies of God. And what foolish talking about God there was. And our Shorter Catechism had asked the question, number 4, what is God? And we read these words, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And the Israelites had an unscriptural and an unfounded view of God, basically accusing God of not being who he says he is. You see, God had said, I will protect you. But they didn't believe that God could protect them. God had said, I deliver you through, but they didn't believe that God would deliver them through. God had said he would bless them, but they didn't believe that he would bless them. God said he would fulfill all his promises, but they obviously didn't believe it by the actions that they had. And here we see the wickedness of man. And how wicked we can be. Why? Because they did not have a proper and a biblical, a scriptural view of God. Charnock said, the foundation of evil practices in the life of a believer is a denial or doubting of some of the attributes of the nature of God. And if you want to go on with God and to go through with God, well then you must have a proper view of God. God is holy. And he has saved his people to be a holy people. And you know what? After you are saved, he is still holy. And he expects holiness from his children. There's an awful teaching going about. You know, you can be saved and you're on your way to heaven and you've got your tickets. You can live whatever way you want. That's not scripture. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God is holy. He has saved his people to be holy. Are you living a life of holiness in respect of who God is? What's your view of God? Is it scriptural? You know, we can never have too high a view of God. We'll never outthink everything there is to know about God, friend. We need to have a biblical view of God. We need to remember he's holy. We need to remember he's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He hears all things. You know, some believers live as if God was contained in the church. Oh, and they're upright and they're moral in the church. But you see, whenever they leave, it's as if they leave God and Christianity behind. Friend, God is holy. And we need to be a holy people. And when you start to think anything less of God than perfection and holiness and righteousness and justice and goodness and truth, well then, friend, you will not walk in the ways of God. The more you know God, believer, the more like him you will be. That's the reality. And your view of God will affect your worship. Much goes on today in the name of worship and prayer. It's not acceptable before God. Your view of God will affect your speech. It will affect your conduct. It will affect your outreach. It will affect your attendance at church. It will affect your prayer meetings. It will affect your prayer life and your private life, friend. Get a biblical view of God. Get a biblical view of God. Fifthly, we find that another hindrance was that there was no consultation with God before decisions were made. There was no consultation with God before a decision was to be made. Whenever they were journeying early in the book of Numbers, earlier, they said, we are journeying onto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us. And there they invited someone to come along with them because they were marching to the promised land. And just a few chapters later, here they have made a decision without consulting God. And they made a decision regarding their progress, and you know what they decided? I'm going to go back. I'm going to turn back. Not pressing on anymore. This is not for me. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I can't do this. They were correct. They couldn't do it. But they've forgotten about God. And you know, we may say that was foolish. God had promised them that there was blessing and obedience. God had promised them if they moved on, they would inherit the promised land and they would be victorious over every enemy that was against them. But friend, they're believers. And our church is doing exactly the same thing today. God has said, go through with me and you will be blessed. Obedience brings blessing. And yet, there's people who've decided, believers, I'm going to go back. I'm not walking into the blessing of God. I'm not attending the prayer meeting this week. and not come to the evening gospel service? Friend, how do you expect the blessing of God when you're not obedient to the basic commands of God and the Word of God? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Friend, never make a decision to go back. We're to press on with God. But you know, that decision had consequences. Because God withdrew his hand from upon these people. And you see, they decided that the next day they were going to go up and into a place and have a battle against the enemy of God. And Moses said, don't go. Don't go. God is not going to go with you. He said, oh no, we'll go up, and we'll go up in the name of the Lord. But you know, they had left God there. And the tabernacle didn't come out of the camp, and Moses and Aaron didn't come out of the camp, and they went to fight, and they failed. And people were slain because they were not in the will of God. You see, there was a remorse when they heard of the consequences of their actions, but there wasn't a turning back to God. And you see, this decision of consequences, believer, the decisions that we make have consequences. Some of my favourite verses in Scripture, and I believe every Christian person should underline these verses and learn them and be able to quote them and to pray them every single day. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, believer, we need to remember that we are not walking the path of life. We are walking the path of spiritual life. And we do not need the thoughts and the ideas and the instruction of the world. We need the thoughts and the ideas and the instruction of God. And we can learn from this passage that we do not have this wisdom naturally. And if you want the wisdom of God, you must ask for it. If any man lack wisdom, James 1:5 says, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And I believe daily we need to ask God for wisdom. You see, decisions have consequences. And whenever churches decide to go the way of the world and employ entertainment and worldly manners and means to attract people in, well, friend, they are not going the way of God. And whenever a believer does something that's contrary to the word of God, well, then they're not going the way of God. And those decisions have consequences. Whenever a parent is not faithful to the word of God, and whenever a Christian parent does not set a godly example, that has consequences. And so often, a child walks in the footsteps of its parents. You see, throughout Scripture, the message is very plain and it's very simple. God's people are to obey God's commands. We read that in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 6 to 9. It says, keep therefore the commands of God and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is great nation, is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Verse 9, only keep heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. Friend, God's word's been given. What's your rule? To obey. We need a people who will obey. We need a people who are willing to set aside their desires for the desires of God. We need a people who desire to build their lives upon the wisdom of God. Briefly and finally, there was no recounting of the faithfulness of God in the past. There was no recounting of the faithfulness of God in the past. What had God done for these people up to this point? Well, he had saved them from death during the Passover, set them free from bondage. They had left Egypt with many of the Egyptians' goods. They crossed the Red Sea. They escaped from their pursuers. They won battles. There was miraculous provision of water and manna and quails. There was guidance. There was forgiveness. There was grace and there was mercy and there was blessing. And surely have these people stood and looked back at the faithfulness of God in the past 2 weeks. They would have known, surely our God will see us through. Lovely hymn, when upon life's billows your tempest was tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. We're very quick to forget. Oh, we're good at asking, but we forget to thank God and to count our blessings. And friend, you know, the reality was they forgot what God had done. They forgot who God was. They forgot what God had said. They forgot God. And people who are walking in the paths of disobedience and people who are not going on with God have forgotten God. You've forgotten his faithfulness and you've forgotten his mercy. You've wandered from Calvary. And believer, I would exhort you and I would encourage you every morning that the Lord gives you upon this earth, get to Calvary. Get to the cross. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous. The grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And this is the secret to progression. Jesus, keep me near the cross. You see, for each of those 6 things, I believe, if they had stayed close to God, these hindrances would not have come. And friend, if you stay close to the cross and close to the Savior, well then I believe you'll go through with God, you'll go on with God. You see, the first problem was there was a greater focus on circumstances rather than the Word of God. But when you're at the cross, your focus will be on the Son of God and the fulfillment of the promises of God. The second problem was a murmuring against God's people. But when you're a person who lives near the cross, you won't murmur because you'll remember who you are. You're a sinner saved by grace. Those who are your brothers and sisters in the Lord are the same. You see, there's no room for pride at the cross. It's a level playing field, as it were. Because we all had to go through the blood before we were saved. Christ had to die for us all. The just for the unjust. And there's not one can raise their head and say, I'm better than my brother or than my sister. Because the same Lord died the same death for you as he did for me. And I believe when we remain near Calvary, there'll be less pride in our hearts. Surely pride has to be swept away there. The third problem was a foolish looking back to the things of the past. But you know, whenever you're living to Calvary, you'll remember what it cost your Savior to die on the cross for your sins. And sin won't be a light thing anymore. And it won't be a trivial thing. And you won't look back foolishly to those days. You'll thank God you're saved. And you're no longer in the bondage of your sin. There was an unbiblical view of God. That was another problem. But when you're living near the cross, you'll have a constant view of the holiness of God. And of the justice of God. And of the righteousness of God. And of the mercy of God. There was no consultation with God before decisions were made. But I believe if you're living near the cross, you'll make all decisions in the light of the Savior. And of his glory and of his cause. And you know, there is no recounting of the faithfulness of God. And if you're living near the cross, you'll never doubt the faithfulness of God. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. As we conclude this morning, I want to ask a question. How did these sins start? Well, I believe they started whenever man listened to the words of man and got his eyes off God. These people were in a covenant, and yet they hearkened on to the voice of man, which turned them from the promises and the provision and from the power of God. And what a great punishment fell upon this people. There are many people missing out today because they're not obedient to the will of God. But praise the Lord, there was a remnant. There were the faithful few. There was Joshua, there was Caleb, there was Moses, there was Aaron. There were those who were faithful. Friend, Christian, what group are you in today? Are you in the faithful remnant? Are you in the crowd who is striking out against the things of God? Perhaps you say to me this morning, preacher, I know, as I look past at this past week, as I look at this past month, this past few years, I have not been walking in the ways of God. Perhaps you say to me, I once was at the prayer meeting, I once was at church, but now I'm not faithful. Perhaps this morning you're found in this house and you haven't been in a Lord's Day service for many a week and you don't know why you're here this morning. Perhaps you look at other believers who have the joy of the Lord in their heart and you say, oh, I wish I was back there, friend. I have a message for you from the Lord, and it's found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, this morning you can be back into fellowship with God. Disobedience is a serious thing. While it does not affect your relationship with God, friend, it affects your fellowship. And there's nothing more miserable and nothing more discouraging than a believer who's not walking with God. And friend, how sad. This morning the Lord says, come unto me. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We sang this morning, marching on in the light of God. Marching on, I'm marching on. Friend, are you? What a difference, I believe, will be in our churches if God's people would get back to the place of blessing and would march on. Will you this morning? Will you say, Lord, here I am. Lord, forgive me for the life that I have lived this past few weeks, but Lord, take me through with God. He can do that for you. If you're not saved this morning, friend, you need to come also. You need to come, confess your sin, confess your inability to do anything for yourself, and ask him to cleanse you in his precious blood and make you ready for heaven and for home. Oh, I pray the Lord will write these words in our hearts. If you want to speak to me after the service, say to me at the door, I'd be delighted to speak to you. But friend, you need to come to the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, as you draw this service to a close this morning, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, O Lord, that it is an accurate and honest portrayal of the lives of thy people. And Lord, as we look at the children of Israel standing there at the book of Numbers here, looking at their circumstances and they're doubting and they're not taking thee at thy word, Lord, we see ourselves at times. And O Lord, we thank thee that you've said if we confess that sin, you'll draw us back unto thyself and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh Lord, for the child of God in this meeting this morning, I pray that they will walk out that door marching on in the light of God. Oh Lord, don't let them stay in Bypath Meadow. Don't let Satan tell them you don't want them anymore, but oh Lord, draw them back to thyself. Oh Lord, what would it be if our people stood up once again and walked with God? Oh Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be found faithful according to thy word and according to thy will. Lord, set us on fire once again for thee. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Lord, take us home in safety, we pray. Bring us back to the house of God this evening. Help us to bring the unsaved with us to the gospel meeting. And oh Lord, may we see thy hand of salvation visit this house today. For the glory of King Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen.